Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go.
This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
And I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's Monday, the 19th of April, 2021. Life, as we previously knew it, has ended. We are now in the realm of the Scab League. The Scab League is upon us. Or as they're calling it, the Super League.
This morning, I broke the news to Len this morning.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't tell him last night because he was very tired and in a bad mood. Yeah. So I thought, I'll explain it to him this morning. When I first explained it, he was like, oh, right. Well, that sounds like the sort of thing I'd sort of set up for a laugh on FIFA, or that we'd recreate in the back garden when we play little tournaments in the back garden. And I was like, yeah, that's basically where they've got the idea from, right? It's just like a child's sort of fantasy game. Yeah. But now they're making it a reality. And he was like, is it good or bad? So it's bad. And to be fair, right, I played him the Gary Neville rant from yesterday, which I thought was really impressive and, you know, passionate. And he's very, very articulate bloke, isn't he? Sure, he could have been a very good politician, although he would have been wasted in politics because politics is for cunts, you know.
I mean, like I think I said on Twitter yesterday, it would be good if somebody could have informed him about the rampant greed of the Premier League at some point in the past 30 years.
But if someone makes a valid point... That would have been churlish, because if someone makes a valid point and you kind of point out the hypocrisies, then no one ever gets to make a point, because there's hypocrisies to be found in everyone's backstory.
Especially on this podcast.
If we're going to start fucking inviting people to unpick every positive statement we make by looking at contradictory things we've said in the past, then we're all fucked. Do you know what I mean? Like, even fucking Martin Luther King, he could have got up and said, I have a dream. And then some Lampard in the audience goes, well, actually, I've been looking at some speeches you made when you were in your school debating society. And in those, you claim never to dream. Right. But Len watched it, and I wasn't sure where he got it, but whether or not he understood every point that Gary Neville was making, or whether he was just inspired by the passion with which Gary Neville spoke, particularly his sign-off line, which was, psh, joke. Which I was a big fan. I would like more politicians to round off their speeches with that. Like, Keir Starmer, people say, oh, he's not really stepping up to the plate and holding the government to account. Well, if I was his advisor, I'd say, mate, after every statement you give about the government, just leave a pause and then just go, psh, joke. And people will like that, right? It has an impact.
That was my favourite bit, along with imposters. They're all imposters. Yeah.
I think Elvis Costello once had a backing ground band called the Imposters.
Elvis Costello and the Imposters, yeah. What was that word? What was? Oh, yeah, it was phonies that we were talking about in a recent episode, wasn't it? If you just used the word phonies as well, that would have been good. They're all phonies.
He did go slightly Sir John Fanny Powder, actually, didn't he, Gary Neville?
Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing at all.
It was Fanny Powder with a dash of Lampard, wasn't it? It was really good.
But I like it. But he's the working man's Lampard.
Yeah.
Sometimes we all need a Lampard, right?
Of course, there's Gary a bit of Lampard in all of us. There is.
And Gary Neville is the working man's Lampard. Lampard is the Lampard's Lampard. Anyway, Len was really inspired by it. And he said, right, he made a snap decision. Because, you know, when you first tell a kid this, all the biggest, most famous clubs are forming a Super League. On the face of it, to a child, that's like, well, sounds quite a laugh. And he's like, are West Ham going to be in it? And I'm like, no. And he goes, well, if they're all leaving, that means we might win the league. And I'm like, yeah, but no. Anyway, I just said, you know, watch this. So he watched it. And he goes, right, I'm off to draw a poster.
Mm-hmm.
The poster is going to say, what was it? Destroy the Super League.
Yay. Right?
I'm going to have a footballer. He's going to be smashing a football away, but the football is going to have European Super League written on it. So I thought, and he goes, and I'm going to blue tap that to the front of the house, to the window.
Yeah,
and I was like, go for it, mate. I mean, I don't know how many people involved in the European Super League will be walking past our house. However, I did once get told by my barber, when I still had a barber, he's now Len's barber, that Edward Woodward used to get, of Manchester United, used to get his hair cut in that place. He lived round near me.
Wow.
And had his hair cut. I don't know if he's still living in London. Apparently, Manchester United, I mean, this sums it up, Manchester United had their corporate HQ in London, not Manchester.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
You've also got, of course, Gary Lineker lives in the locality, and he might be out for a stroll and wander past your house and see it.
Lineker's going to be bang on our side already, isn't he?
Well, let's hope so. But maybe he's wavering. Maybe he's on the fence. And, of course, Lineker has got his Champions League coverage that he does already. So he's gonna need to be guided on this. Which way does he go? Does he go with the Super League idea?
He will be, because there's pound signs in people's eyes here.
Oh, absolutely.
And that can be seductive. Like, I thought, well, this morning, someone, a mutual friend of ours, got in touch to point out that another mutual friend, oh, I don't think you know the person, but someone who me and him know, is handling all the communications for this thing, right?
All right, great, yeah. As I think I know who you speak of. I think I saw that person's name mentioned.
So it's an individual who I like, I have respect for, I like personally. And anyway, whatever. They'll probably be being paid a huge sum of money to handle the comms. And I think a lot of people in communications on the whole think, well, our job is not to stand in judgment. Our job is to maximise the positive story, right? Whatever, I don't work in communication. I don't need to worry. I don't have to wrestle with those ethical dilemmas, right?
I mean, maybe they don't give a fuck about football. It would be really easy if you didn't give a fuck about football.
In which
case,
it's like, look, mate, I don't fucking know anything about it. They're fucking... Anyway.
Yeah, you're just selling chips and gravy, aren't you?
I've thought, well, imagine if this individual of whom I speak calls me up and says, I know that you and Andy Dawson have a wildly popular football-related podcast. This new Super League is going to need a football. And I'll be like, listen, right, count me out. Football,
no way.
Right, football, no fucking way. Football is a working man's game. It's for the people, yeah? It's built by the people. Psh, joke, right?
Yeah, we want you to do a podcast and we're going to give you £5,000 per episode. When can we start?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. So it's like, they're like, listen, we need to throw money about this. We need to get the ordinary fan to get behind this idea and understand the positive. So what we need is, instead of having people like, what's his name, the fucking geezer from Real Madrid, who seems to be the boss of it all, sing your fucking this and that. Eh, come on, what's the big problem? Big game every week, English. Why not you like? You want to carry on watching your Stoke City Sheffield Uniteds? Or you want to watch fucking Real Madrid play your Liverpools?
And hey, look, we're going to get kicked out the league. So what? So that means we only got 20 games a season. A lot of time to rest in the sun, yeah?
Every game we play, make 20 times more money. So we play less games, you see? And we're still up on the deal. What don't you understand, English? Your little kid don't want to watch no West Ham play Sheffield United, my friend. Your little boy, he want to watch Real Madrid play Juventus every fucking week. You don't believe me? Go ask him. Go ask your little boy. What your boy want to see? When he go on FIFA, he playing Sheffield United versus Swansea, or he playing Real Madrid Juventus?
No way. He play Real Madrid versus Swansea so he can get a big win.
This is silly football. No, I'm talking sexy football every week, week in, week out. You know what? If you can have your lobster, your lovely lobster for dinner every night, you fucking have it. You don't have to have lobster once a month and the rest of the time I have beans on toast. Right?
Yeah,
but there you go. What I'm saying is they might say, right, we can't have him do it because these people are billionaires. They can't relate to the ordinary fans. We need to get some ordinary fans behind us. And we've done some research and we've discovered that you and Andy, particularly Andy, who we can't understand because he's from the north, somewhere in the north, are widely regarded as Britain's most authentic football fans. All right? I mean, you know, we've heard, we don't know if it's true, that he podcasts from a park bench just in pants and a string vest and a knotted hanky.
Into a tin can.
Into a tin can, and then just has it sent to you on cassette. Well, okay, well, there's a lot of rumours, but that's not strictly true. But yes, okay, go on. Well, we think that's the sort of authenticity, the earthiness that we need to connect with the ordinary fan. So we are extremely well-funded, and you can name your price to a podcast. And I'm like, let me just stop you there. Let me stop, just stop. I've got one thing to say to you, and that is, when do you need the first episode delivered by? Yeah?
Oh, we let him swear.
Me and Andy have difficult schedules. I've got to pick up Len from school at about 3:15, right? You know there's a lot of snooker on the box at the moment, right? Which is taking up Andy's time. So, you know, we are willing to move things around, of course.
Are we allowed to swear? Actually, that doesn't matter. We'll do whatever you want. Yeah.
We'll say, literally, you can send us a script if you want. We'll just read it out.
But the whole, I mean, there's some fans who their jaws have dropped at this news, and they're actually like, wow, the owners of our clubs actually despise us. We had no idea. And I mean, this has been in the post for fucking years, this.
Yeah, of course.
They've been
it has.
Dancing around looking to do this
for
years.
A couple of people on Twitter have said we actually predicted this, which I have no recollection of, but I'll take it.
We've predicted pretty much everything at one point or another. So, you know, you can retrofit anything that happens to something that's been said on this podcast. And it wasn't necessarily genuine at the time. But, I mean, fucking hell. Take Manchester United for example. The 75,000 fans go to Manchester United, Old Trafford. Those 75,000 people are fucking irrelevant in terms of the global audience that they think they're going to get. And the global audience, they know they've got. You know, they've got fans all around the world, and they know they have, and they buy merchandising, and they get sponsorship coming in from everywhere. Those 75,000 people who think they're the true fans, they're just fucking window dressing. And it doesn't matter. You've talked before about how they wouldn't bring back fans after this pandemic
fans
thing.
Fans just get in the way of their activities.
Yeah, exactly. They're just window dressing. They're nothing more than that. And the
worrying
thing is
as
well,
is,
so, hang on, some fans will boycott them. Some fans will say, I'm not going back to Old Trafford again. Fuck this. There'll be plenty of others that will come along and sit in their seats in their place.
And they know
they'll
that.
Still get the 75,000 in. Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. And this whole thing, I mean, Liverpool and Manchester United are the worst in this because they've got a proper heritage and tradition and they haven't just bought their way to the top table like Chelsea and Manchester City did.
Yeah.
And, you know, these clubs are apparently founded on their history and their heritage and all this sort of thing and they've just fucked all that away in the blink of an eye. And the thing is, if this doesn't happen, if some reason UEFA and FIFA come together and they come to an agreement and they reshape the Champions League in a way that suits these big fucking clubs, apparently. So what? Doesn't matter. They've done it now. They've fucking shown their hand. They've shown who they are. It's fucked forever.
If there's a lesson to be taken from it, it's, well, Gary Neville nailed it. It's like these people are imposters because when a big rich owner comes and buys your club, you know, as much as, you know, I, as a West Ham fan, particularly have like savaged Chelsea over the years, right? For the way in which they fucking bought their way in.
We all have. Yeah.
And like, but Chelsea, I mean, like City, I think I myself, and I think a lot of people might be more forgiving too, because City were a likeable club with what were regarded as very, like, great, passionate fans and all this. It was Chelsea just thought, fucking hell, where have you lot crawled out from?
I mean, before all of this on Saturday evening, my heart sank when I realised that there was another FA Cup final coming with Chelsea in it. I thought, and, I'm fucking watching that.
Yeah,
fucking
no
hell.
Fucking
but
way.
Now,
well,
now Leicester
I'd
have won it.
I'd watch it only
already.
To support Leicester, yeah. I actually thought last night, I thought, well, actually, now Leicester are in it, it might be a decent watch, because for once that's quite an evenly matched game and everyone's going to be supporting Leicester. But anyway, that aside, the point is, you know, West Ham have never had a foreign billionaire come along. There's been rumours about it, and there's been rumours about foreign billionaires buying Sunderland too. And we've always been, you can't help be seduced by the idea, because when you look at Chelsea and Man City and you look at those moments where it first happens and suddenly you go out and start buying fucking global superstars and all the rest of it, of course that's seductive and exciting, right? And you're forgiven for thinking, oh, well, you know, most Chelsea and City fans will tell you, proper ones, I mean, the old school who were there before it all started, they'll go, yeah, I mean, I don't like, you know, I prefer the old memories of my club, but at the same time, it's really nice watching world-class players and winning lots of games. So you're torn a bit. But now you see, well, this is what it's really about, because yesterday I was out with my mate when the news broke, and I was saying, he thought that I was being behind it, but all I was doing was I was explaining the point of view, the mentality of the people running these clubs, right? So when that bloke Bob Iger took over Disney, right, he looked at it in a really cold-eyed way, and he thought, we're in the entertainment industry, which means we have to put on the stuff that people most want to see, and my job is not to take too many gambles, to keep the money of the shareholders safe. So what the shrewdest thing for me to do would be to buy the shit that people already love, right, and just give it back to them. So first of all, he's just started remaking all of the brands they already owned, like, so they do live action of Sleeping Beauty, all the rest of it, right? But then they go, right, I'm going to buy Star Wars and I'm going to buy the Marvel Universe, because that's sort of endless, infinite stories, but all built around a brand that there's already a huge global audience for. So that's what you do, it because it is just straightforward, cold-eyed, we are in the entertainment industry. Give the people what they want. And I said, you know, these people who run football clubs now, there is no sense of them being cultural or social institutions, right?
It is
only that they are in the entertainment industry and they are in business, right? And so you think, well, what is the thing that will maximise the amount of eyeballs and the amount of revenue we can attract? And, of course, that is... cut out all the bits that people that are less sort of glamorous and exciting, and just give them, just like Disney make Star Wars franchise after Star Wars franchise after Star Wars franchise, and they do press conferences and go, guess what, we've got another 10 Star Wars programs coming out. Footballing billionaires are thinking, well, why don't we just make easily the thing that's the most popular is the final stages of the Champions League. So why don't we just make that but all the time? What's the point? Why are we bothering with these other games that less people want to pay for and see money and then have to share the money out to other people who aren't bringing the attractiveness to it, right?
Yeah.
And that is the mentality. And you're right, is that fans, unfortunately, will facilitate this. Not the fans that we would regard as proper football supporters, right, who go for years and buy into the sort of cultural and social aspect and just the fucking Corinthian aspect of it as well. Do you know what I mean? What the really the essence of football and our enjoyment of it is that there it's a fucking dramatic meritocracy that constantly fluctuates, right? You take all that away, and unfortunately there is a generation of fans who've grown up with the fucking mad fantasy football mentality that has been encouraged by the Champions League, by the Premier League. This all softened up fans, a younger generation of fans, for what's happening now. Because it was all about instant gratification, glamour, pizzazz, like everything being very, very starry, everything being focused on these superstar individuals. And I think, you know, unfortunately, what will facilitate it is... And these people are shrewd enough to know they wouldn't have made this step to announce it. They wouldn't be stupid to have expected anything other than this sort of shit straight away.
No, of course not.
Right? And the communications person they've got running it, by the way, is used to work, has worked for the Conservative Party and was Theresa May's main communications person when she was Prime Minister. So that's no coincidence. They'll probably have thought, well, we're going to get a lot of shit. This is going to be like politics when you announce something that's unpopular. I know, it's true.
We get to deal with lots of shit in the past.
Yeah, they didn't go for a sporting. They didn't go for a sporting PR.
Got nothing to do with
sport.
They
went for a political PR.
Jalapeño.
Did you enjoy our live stream, Brown John? If so, there's another one coming up on the 22nd of April.
if you didn't see it because you were busy or just an idiot, then you should check it out, because the reviews we got for the first one were sensational.
Hmm. Find out more about it on our Twitter, and also you can get your tickets. What's our website called again?
TFTimeMachine.com.
Yeah, yeah, tickets are available there.
The links will be out there, yeah.
22nd of April, 7 p.m. Loads of great stuff. Get involved.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
None of this got anything to do with sport. That's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah. You've just said there, the Corinthian thing. People need to get their heads around the fact this has got nothing to do with sport. It's now a global entertainment franchise thing. And the influence of the Glazers at Manchester United and John Henry at Liverpool, it's very heavily influenced by the NFL thing, which in itself is a closed shop. And that thing where games are played in London in the NFL at the minute, that's going to happen with this fucking thing. You won't even get to go to all your home games, because there'll be matches in fucking New York, and there'll be matches in the Far East and Australia and all over the place, because they haven't used the word Europe in this. They haven't called it the European Super League. It's just the Super League. It's a fucking global thing. And your game and your club has just been taken away from you. But like you say, you've been softened up. You should have seen this coming. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody who's a fan of any of the big six, as they're called. Well, maybe apart from Spurs, because Spurs being in this is the fucking funniest thing about
it
all.
It's fucking hilarious.
This reminds me, you know, it's like one of those family films where a dog sneaks onto a spaceship by mistake before it takes off. And then the dog becomes fucking radioactive or something as a result of being on this spaceship. And it's like, how the fuck did the dog get on the spaceship? That's Spurs in the Super League. They're going to be in the bottom two or bottom three of this league every season.
Where an imbecile becomes president or king. Like King Ralph.
It's like, what?
Is that Roseanne, isn't it?
They've won one League Cup in this century. One League Cup. They haven't won the fucking league since 1961. How the fuck a Spurs in this thing? But I mean, I don't know, the NFL thing might get taken even further. They might start having draft systems of players, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where they might ring fence all the players into this league, and then they might make it fair by having a draft every season so that the same teams don't win. They might just take the whole blueprint of the NFL and the NBA and put it into this Super League thing. I don't know. Fuck them either way, because
They're Americans as well, like you say. Yeah, they've looked, like, exactly as you say. Yeah. They've looked at how it works, and they said, "Why we don't get this British thing?" And some people might have said at some point, "Oh, but you don't understand. These clubs are as an integral part of the communities that they're from, as the churches used to be, or whatever you want to say." Do you know what I mean? And they go, "What? Fuck
what?
Off." Fuck, what are you fucking talking about? We had the LA Raiders, and then they became the Oakland Raiders, and I think now they're the fucking Las Vegas Raiders or something mental. So we don't give a shit about that. What I mean, I do wonder what all the people who were Raiders fans in Los Angeles did once the club just upped and fucked off somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand.
I mean, you look at AFC Wimbledon, which came out of the ashes of the movement to Milton Keynes. Maybe these six clubs will do what? I mean, Manchester United's already done it once. They started up FC United of Manchester when the Glazers took over, and that didn't really catch fire, but they might go back to that. Each of these clubs might start again and try and represent a true version of their clubs? I don't know.
You know, it's like from a fan's point of view, you look at it, right, and you think, okay, if it was my club, and who knows, maybe, you know, West Ham are probably sitting there, Dave Sullivan's probably sitting there thinking, hey, about...
I was going to say this to you. If this was 18 months down the line and you'd had a couple of decent Champions League campaigns, Gordon Sullivan would be all over this.
They'd
and
be
you'd
like,
be on the spaceship.
I'm going to put a phone call into this mob. I mean, fuck me. You know, West Ham. Well, Tottenham Hotspurs, you must be joking. They've not won more than us, right?
If Newcastle had been bought by the Saudis last year, they'd be in this as well.
Newcastle they'd will be fuming. West Ham will be fuming. Everton will be fuming. Fucking Leicester will be fuming that Tottenham are in there. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think the unifying thing about them all is the debt, which is what the Spanish and Italian clubs in this have got, or massive stadiums, which is what the English clubs have got or want to have. Yeah. I mean, Spurs and Arsenal have built those big stadiums and then had no success. So they're kind of like, well, we need something else here. We need to fucking justify our big old stadiums. It is a fucking shit show. Scab League. Scab League.
But and, as a fan,
I will not be doing the podcast.
As a fan, you might think, oh, what would I do? Maybe it's time to ditch all of this. And maybe it's time to, you know, even though my club aren't going to be in it, right, or Sunderland aren't going to be in it, you can still look and go, well, we're all complicit in the same sort of... We've talked before, long before this, about how football basically stinks, right?
Yeah.
It's a disgusting game from top to bottom.
A disgusting endeavour. Yeah, right. It really is.
And that's aside from all the stuff. Actually, I ought not to say this, but there are, you know, some of the money that is involved in it and that pays all of this is just fucking from the most despicable, exploitative places. But what would you do, right? So I'm thinking, oh, maybe we need to renounce this kind of football and go back to grassroots football. And what do you get if I went up the road to Kingstonian, right, who are local to me, and I went and started watching them? What would I get? Well, the match day experience would be as good, probably better, right? Because there's an intimacy there. There's a convenience that you don't get these big fucking stadiums. They're like, that it's hell attending matches at the London Stadium and at most other big stadiums.
Right?
That.
Yeah.
It's an inconvenience going to almost any big stadium. I mean, a couple of years ago, me and my mate went to watch Bayern Munich just for a little, you know, bit of a laugh one weekend. And even then they go, oh, the experience for fans is so great. But you're coming out of this fucking gigantic, generic sort of, you know, really charmless structure that Bayern Munich play in. And you're just like shuffling along in little rows, like something out of fucking, you know, an Orwell novel, right? You're just shuffling, shuffling in pigeon steps for an hour after the game to get into the little train station to get back to your house, right? Anyway, so that's better. The quality of football is lower, of course, right? But does that matter? Because if you look at old games on YouTube, right, if you watch even West Ham, people are fucking constantly sharing West Ham 1980s matches. I'm sure they do the same with Sunderland. You watch them, you think, this football is what non-league is like now. And that was top-flight football back in the day. Muddy pitches, long ball, every goal coming from a mistake. And we're all perfectly happy with that. It's all relative. Mm-hmm. There will still be superstars who seem more skillful than the other lads. I follow grassroots football on Instagram, which is well worth a follow if you don't already, because it's clips of the best goals in grassroots football that have just been filmed on phone. And it's fucking amazing, mate. Some of the skills and goals you see. Because everything's relative. There'll still be a Matt Letitier in every non-league team, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is maybe it is time to just up sticks and just support you. You go to your local non-league side, don't you?
I do. I go and watch Sunderland RC. I mean, that league's been suspended now, so I can't go and watch them. But it'll be back. It'll be back one day. I'll go along again. I mean, I'll still go and watch Sunderland. We're in League One, for fuck's sake. And we've got a kid with a lot of money. Mate. We've got a kid with a lot of money who, we're not going to get automatic promotion this season. That's gone for a Burton. But we've got this kid with a lot of money who has had involvement in Marseille and who is quoted as having said in the past, he and his family wanted nothing more to do with the disgusting business of football. Those are his words. He's seen it all firsthand. So maybe he wants to do it a different way. Maybe he won't. Maybe it'll all go to shit. But I'm still in that rosy period of it looking like it might be optimistic. So I don't know. So it might be a good thing for Sunderland long term. But, I mean, I watch the big match Revisited on ITV4 every Saturday morning. It's part of my Saturday morning routine. I know you like to get the shark out and do a bit of sharking. I'll sit with a cup of tea and watch big match. Time. I've not watched Match of the Day for about 5 months now, but I watch the big match Revisited diligently every weekend. Yeah. There's been a dog on the pitch in two of the last three episodes of the big match Revisited.
And, I bet you get that non-league football all the time.
I'm certain you do. So, I mean, international football, what happens if they kick them out of the Premier League and stop these players from playing in international football? Then what? Fucking, the 2022 Qatar World Cup is going to be so tainted.
Well, to be honest, the Qatar World Cup fucking sums it up anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
When history books are written, they will say...
That was the canary in the coal mine, wasn't it?
Yeah, they'll
the
just
Qatar
go,
World Cup.
If people are going to accept this, the number of deaths there's been, the amount of dirty money that was exchanged in order to secure that in the first place. Do you know what I mean? Everything that FIFA went through when Sepp Blatter was scandalised, and no one was surprised by that. Everyone fucking knew. And we just move on because we're sort of addicted to the game. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But maybe it's time for all of that to stop. I think football, will it eat itself even? I don't know, but...
You know what? This will happen. And it'll happen and everything will carry on because there'll be a generation of fans, like you've said, the ones that are slightly younger than us, perhaps. Because there's an element of us here being old men shouting at clouds sort of thing. And there'll be younger generations who will go, oh, well, this is a bit weird and we're going to get kicked out of the Premier League and everything. But then ultimately they'll be like, fine with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the owners of the Super League will sell it in a way that it'll look like it's an attractive proposition.
Even though
that whole fucking competition and that Corinthian spirit has gone forever, it'll just be like the NFL and it'll sell all around the world and fans will be into it. Like you say, they've done the fucking research. They know this isn't going to be a loser for them. They're all getting £3 billion for kicking it off, which in itself means they should be chucked out of the Premier League because they've just set up this thing where they get £3 billion from a bank and then they're supposed to, what, come into the Premier League and then compete fairly with the other fucking 14 teams that don't have that
£3 billion?
Yeah, they have
to go.
Fuck that.
And taking that money as well, you're right as well, a lot of them do have debt, and £3 billion straight away wipes it all out. And you can see why a bank, that kind of money floats around. That's like, to the big fucking investors on Wall Street and wherever, all around the world and in fucking Silicon Valley, this money is fucking, it's meaningless. They invest it in all sorts of fucking daft stuff every day. Right, whereas this sort of feels
peanuts.
Relatively a safe bet. But to Tottenham Hotspur or Manchester United, who are saddled with a huge amount of debt for various reasons, they're going, what? You're going to pay me £3 billion to get involved in something that is going to continue to make huge sums, but that's an upfront sum, so it wipes out everything. Well, we can't afford to say no to that. We have to jump on it, especially when they, you know, it would have been, well, these clubs are already doing it, so do you want to be the odd one out? You know?
Yeah. Well, this was the thing they were saying on Sky Sports News this morning, that it was Real Madrid, Manchester United, and I think Liverpool were the three clubs. So you got your head case at Madrid, and then you got your two American owners, Liverpool, Man U, and they were the driving forces. And a lot of the other clubs have kind of got into this with a heavy heart almost because they thought, well, we don't want to get left behind. Oh, well, you know, I'm really sorry about that, but you've fucking done it now.
The problem is, if you're the Premier League, right, and you think we've got to chuck them out because it's unfair, right, and also it's just against the spirit of the game, and everyone's putting... If you do that, as I understand it, the plan at the moment is that this will run alongside the Premier League, right?
That's what they want, yeah.
So that's what they want, right? So the Premier League can say, well, if you're involved in the Super League, you can't be in the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
But that means you remove Liverpool, Manchester United, who are the two best supported clubs in the league and two of the best supported clubs in the world. And what does that do to your next deal, your next television deal? It fucking really reduces the amount of money.
Well, this is it. There's talk as well of these clubs being sued by the Premier League and by the other Premier League clubs because it's immediately devalued the league itself if they up sticks and fuck off.
But but only for the length of this contract. So they could sue them. I don't know how long this current TV deal runs for, right? They could say, well, you can't carry on in this league, so you're going to leave, but you're going to leave. But the particularly the television companies would say, hang on, you've reneged on our deal here. You're being chucked out. I don't know what will happen. Probably the Premier League. The Sky could sue the Premier League, and the Premier League in turn could sue Manchester United and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe they'll be ahead of all of this. They'll have had so many lawyers across it. They'll be going, there might be legal action, but that's fine. We can just afford to pay that off. No problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're not doing this on a whim. This has been planned for a long time. This has been well worked out.
But the point is that the Premier League have to face the facts that if they throw them out, when this current TV deal ends, right, without those five clubs, particularly the two I mentioned, like Man U and Liverpool, without Man U and Liverpool in the league, then you are inevitably going to have to, you might end up getting half of the money.
Each TV
deal has gone up, hasn't it, every time they do it.
But
now it will go down.
It doesn't matter, because if those clubs stay in the Premier League, there's no point in them being in the Premier League. They're not playing to qualify for anything. They don't give a fuck about winning the Premier League. It's going to be an inconvenience for them because all the money's going to be in their midweek games against all these Super League clubs.
Yeah, so they'll be playing the kids,
possibly. The whole competition's completely devalued anyway.
Yeah.
You're better off just chucking them out and then having Leicester and West Ham and Everton battling on a more level playing ground for the Premier League. I'd be into that. I'd watch that.
Mm.
You know, I'd watch fucking Southampton trying to fucking win the league or whatever. I'm sick and tired of the same six fucking teams getting to finals. Yeah. We've got Spurs Man City Carabao Cup final this Sunday. Who gives a fuck about that?
Fucking tedious, yeah. And I think that also, you know, when you watch the big match, you know, you do see clubs when Villa or Forest won the league or when Southampton or Ipswich were competing to win the league or West Ham, you know, were winning the cups and Sunderland won the cup, you know. That was a more exciting time. I bought all those old match issues recently. Shoot magazine, just from the mid-80s. and, you know, it was just like a different fucking time where it did feel more democratised as well. Like, if you were a kid like Len, he loves West Ham, but all the coverage, I'm not fucking crying, West Ham get more coverage than most, I admit, but really, there is a sense, if you're a kid, that if you support a club outside of the elite ones who are in the Champions League, you kind of don't get as much sort of love or attention. And so you can see why it sort of siphons more and more kids, unless they've got parents who bully them. I didn't bully him, but you know, unless you've got a dad who's really, really into it, then they all get siphoned towards Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well,
but maybe then, so you get a more interesting league, and there'd probably be a new European. But the Champions League continue, and maybe these club it would allow those medium sized clubs to grow, because suddenly they'd be playing in the Champions League, and it'd be interesting. You know,
it'll look like a more level playing field for a while, but ultimately money rules over everything else. So eventually, it'll just end up as corrupt, and then they'll end up with a fucking Super League B, probably.
Well, what will happen is, let's say the Premier League exists without those teams, and Everton, basically, let's say for the sake of argument, Everton become the preeminent side, right? And they start winning the league most years, and then in a European tournament, Everton end up beating fucking Bayer Leverkusen every year in the Champions League final, right? Well, the Super League then just come calling on Everton.
Everton can't afford
to say no to their offer.
This is part of it. There's going to be room for five teams to qualify for the Super League each season. So if you win the league, if you win the Premier League, you might not even want to play in the Champions League because you're going to get sucked up into this vortex that is the Super League, because that's where the money is. Even though the clubs that have formed this league will retain most of the money, and you'll be there, Everton, for example, will be there as special guest stars. You know what I mean? Like on a TV show or something, a one-season one-off, and they'll get less money than fucking Spurs, who set this thing up.
How long do you think it'll be before they start doing ritualistic killings on the pitch prior to every game and at half-time?
I think we're probably about 2.5 years away from that, tops.
Yeah. I genuinely think that. Because if you look at the human rights record of Qatar, right? or any of the countries that effectively own people like PSG and Chelsea, right?
Whoa, hang on there, Sam. I'm going to bring you some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Tottenham have sacked Jose Mourinho.
Oh, amazing. What a day. What a day.
I can't even process that. I don't know what that means. Who's going to be Spurs manager then in the new fucking Super League?
I wouldn't be surprised if they just ended up hiring like a Hollywood actor or Donald Trump.
I was going to say.
Or Kanye West.
A hologram of fucking Brian Clough or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's real anymore.
Han Solo will be the new Spurs manager, assisted by his Wookiee friend Chewbacca. In a landmark deal with Disney.
Fuck, I don't know. Let's just end the episode there because I don't know where to go from that.
Madness.
It's the Super League era. The Scab League, sorry, to give it its proper title. The Scab League is upon us and Jose Mourinho will not be managing Tottenham. But I reckon he'll end up managing one of the fuckers. Do you know what I mean?
Of course he will. He'll be rubbing his hands about this.
Oh, man. All right, there you go. Thanks
get coining, lads.
Listening.
That's all I can say. Plow everything into coining because that's the future.
Yeah, that's the future. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.